columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Leading off with a big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Nick Ferguson, Tyler Palumbis, and D-Mac.
I'm wearing my purple hat. What do you guys think of the purple hat?
I like it. I like the purple hat. It's a nice little light shade of purple.
Yeah?
Goes with a lot of things.
I love it. Usually there are certain hats that I don't really, you know, gravitate towards, but it's something about the purple and the way that it kind of, it's set out. I know it looks like a trucker's hat.
Yeah, that's the only kind of hat I wear anymore.
Okay.
It's the ultra dad hat.
I told you to give me one.
Yeah, sorry.
How much did it cost you?
Like $100. No, I don't know what it was. I had $30, I think.
I like it.
Got it at the Rockies team store. The Rockies Diamondbacks shared team store.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have their own individual team stores, but those are only open on game days. This is a shared store that you can get to at any time. Just pull right on up there, the center field parking, and just walk right there and they're happy to assist you. You can buy whatever spring training. You see those black hats, the spring training hats?
Yes, I can tell that you did not wear a hat when you were there.
I didn't. I sort of. Am I looking a little?
Yeah. You are.
A little peaked?
Yeah, you are looking.
I was trying to avoid the sun all I could.
No, it's not like.
I was trying.
It's not your normal rosy. Like, we've got a.
I got a little color?
You've got a shade. Two shades darker of red.
A little spring training. On. A little spring training rosé.
And normally it kind of stays in the facial area. Now it's kind of expanded down to the neck and all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely got yourself some sun there.
Yeah. I was trying. I swear to God, I was trying.
But it just didn't work.
Well, I mean, you know, I lube up the best that I can, right? Yeah.
Is that you?
That's me putting on the sunscreen. I'm just like, I think this will work.
Karen.
Our guy Jeff Friedich. Oh boy.
He's doing well right now.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
He redeemed himself, right?
Well, here's apology. He's on the apology tour, so here we go.
You know, I'm sorry that our fans, you know, if they've been
not a good start. No.
When you want to apologize, fellas, you can't use the word if.
No, you can't. No,
it's not an apology.
If you were offended by what I said,
no, then I'm sorry.
Then I'm sorry.
Right.
Right. I've gotten a few of those in my day.
Yeah. If you use if in an apology, it's not an apology. Either you're sorry or you're not.
Yeah.
Not if.
That's my bad, yo.
Hey, if folks really were annoyed by spending 4 hours leaving the Air Force Academy for that hockey game, man, we're sorry. If.
You know, I'm sorry that our fans, you know, if they've been, you know, I'm sorry that it went the, you know, this way, and that you know, it's caused them angst.
That what went this way? They're sorry. I'm sorry if they're upset that it went this way.
What?
What is it that went that way that you're sorry for?
I know. Why is he struggling so much with this stuff?
What is it?
Isn't the aim of this apology to talk directly to Nolan, not just the fans?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
That is a good question, actually.
Kind of, I guess. I guess he doesn't really want to apologize.
If
Nolan was offended by it.
You know, there are best supporters of Nolan. They're the best supporters of the organization. And, you know, certainly you don't want, you know, there to be turmoil or crises or anything like that. You know, sometimes there are professional disagreements in the business. And, you know, but apart from that, you know, we've never really handled things, you know, internally, publicly.
That's what Harvard sounds like.
Dude, he's not talking to Nolan at all. He's distracting, going in a whole different direction, smoke and mirrors.
I have more. He has mastered the craft of talking for a significant period of time without
saying anything.
Really? Right.
Hold on. Do you got
a lot of that is on.
What's that?
You got day one, day two?
Day one, day two?
Today was day two.
Oh, I don't know if that's maybe.
Come on, tell me you got that.
A lot of that is out of respect, right? It's out of respect to the organization. It's out of respect to the players in the organization. And I think it's, you know, appropriate that a lot of inner team business is kept as such. And so, you know, that's why. A big reason why I haven't, you know, been out in making statements, you know, just keeping with that policy and that best practice policy for us.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Jeff, all you have to do is say, Nolan is not just our best player. He's one of the best players ever. Whatever issues that we have between the two of us, certainly what we all want is to win. And having Nolan Arenado on this team is going to give us a better chance to win.
You know how easy this would have been? So easy. Fans, I want to apologize. I should have never let this get to this point. Nolan and I both should have gotten in a room a long time ago. This is hard now, guys. This is hard. We're in a little bit of a sticky situation, and it's hard. But we shouldn't have gotten to this point, and I apologize for that. That would have been pretty easy. I would have taken that. I would have been like, okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
well, that would have been all right.
You don't have to say whose fault it was.
On top of that, he could say, listen, I am the general manager. This is on me to hash out, and I will take responsibility for that.
I still feel he took a shot at Nolan because he was saying, like, well, you know, when things happen within a team, you keep them basically in-house. And it was Nolan who came out and said that he felt really disrespected by certain people inside the organization, Breidich being that guy. So if you feel that way, go right to the source. Talk to Nolan and say, listen, let's sit down. But he's failing to do that. And even in this interview, listening to him, I mean, he's failing miserably.
Oh,
I want to get to this. I want to get to this next one because, number one, I want to make fun of it. Number two, it's very revealing on something that bothers me.
All right. Okay.
Misconception of this whole offseason is that I don't believe in, like, the group that we have.
That's
here.
Not it. Never mind. Okay, so in other words, it's Jeff Breidich, and he says, today's day two, yesterday was day one.
Right.
Well, okay, thank you for that piece of information.
Right,
that was fantastic. So yesterday was day one. I'm sure at some point during spring training, yeah, we'll sit down and we'll have a conversation. In other words, today's day two, guys, relax. Yesterday was just day one. Relax. We got tons of time to go have a conversation. We're going to be at spring training in a long time. I had other things I had to get to in day two and day one.
Like what? Seeing what's on a meal plan? What was for lunch? How do you not talk to your star player about, you know, some issues that you guys have that are ongoing?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it really matters, though, to be honest with you. That's the crazy thing. Oh, you got it now, Kev? Go ahead, pal. Play it.
So, you know, today was day two. Yesterday was day one. He's just like all the other players. We find time to sit down and interact.
Stop. We did talk about this yesterday.
He just likes them. Just like all the other players.
Just like all the rest of them.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I'm going to talk with Tony Wolters, and then I got to get together with Patty Barrels, Pat Valica, see what's going on there. And Jeff Rogers, I think he's going to be able to play in like 3 years. Listen. Get a chit-chat with him and see what Ryan McMahon's up to. And, you know, maybe I'll get to Nolan. Actually, we're going to do everything in reverse alphabetical order. So it might be a little bit later.
Listen.
Valica first, Arenado last.
When Tyler Palumbus is upset with the pass protection call on third down,
you can
get to it when you get to it. When Peyton Manning's upset about the play call on third down, you get to it. Mm-hmm. You do it.
Right.
I mean, of course he's different.
This is a weird one because it's more just like the way they're handling things than what's actually going on.
Bright is afraid to confront Nolan. That's what I think.
Why would he be afraid to what? Are you like literally afraid to talk to him?
Yeah. Because if he wasn't, whether it was the first day, second day, third day of spring training, you walk up to your star player, you sit him down and say, listen, let's hash this out.
Well,
here's why I was wrong. What do you think that you were wrong? And then move past it.
I'll give you this. Vrdich is losing. Whatever this is, whatever's going on, Vrdich is losing it. He's losing it. By the way, Kevin, you had that Arenado stuff, right? Go ahead. This was, you know, more. So what's happening, by the way, is TV stations, media, other people, well, they're going down there, right? Because the Rockies are in spring training. So Rod Mackey's down there and Channel 7's down there. And, you know, I'm down there. And, you know, at some point, maybe the home station of the Rockies will be down there.
That was the key part.
Right.
You were down
there. Right. I was there. You're going to want to talk to Nolan. I mean, he's the best player on the team. So the Rockies PR staff, boy, did they treat me nice. Holy cow. Were they generous and nice? And I have nothing but good things to say about the Rockies PR staff. Well, they're going to be accommodating to other media people, too. And what do you think other media people are going to say?
They're going to ask that question.
They're going to ask.
Yes.
We want to talk to Nolan.
Hey, if you're nice to me, I will do nice things for you.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan's going to have to sort of make the rounds here. So here's the latest from what Nolan has to say.
Misconception of this whole offseason is that I don't believe in, like, the group that we have here, you know, and that's kind of been, that's extremely false, and that's kind of what I've reiterated to this team, my teammates, is that that's not where I'm coming from. It's coming from a place of just wanting to win and be there, you know. I think, you know, as a team, when you see things happen or moves happen, it kind of gives you a little confidence, a little bit of energy, and it feels good, you know, and that's kind of where I was coming from. But I definitely believe in the guys we have here. You know, I know some guys had some tough years last year, but that doesn't mean that they can't come back this year and do something special. You know, I believe they will, and I'm going to try to help them as much as I can.
That's tricky, too, because his criticism, you could understand some of his teammates being like, hey, whoa, so what, we're not good enough for you? What I think he's talking about really is the pitching. Let me ask you guys this in football, offense, defense here, right? How well do you guys have to get along, or how much do you blame each other when things are going poorly?
Always. I thought about lying. I thought about coming up with the PC answer. I thought about saying when you're winning, it's not so bad. Always it's the other side of the ball. Are you kidding me?
It definitely happens because if there's a mic in your face, you're going to toe the company line and you're going to say the best thing to put the organization and the player that you're talking about in a great position. But the moment you walk out, you're in the car, you're with your wife and your family, oh, you're spilling the beans. This guy absolutely sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of him, we lost the game. All he has to do is just do his freaking job, and we would have been okay.
You know, it goes deeper than offense-defense, though. I mean, yeah, there is an offensive-defensive thing, but when, like, the offense sucks and we know that we sucked, you know, we get in our meetings and we're like, gosh, our running backs suck. I didn't give up that sack. Throw the dang ball. What are you doing?
So you turn on each other in terms of position groups as well.
Yeah.
That's great. That's
not,
great.
No, I mean, nobody turns on each other like DBs do, but.
Well, DBs turn on each other on the field.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's a whole new level.
Hey, listen, I told you, the moment
hands
you see.
Hands go in the air, you dude, know what's going on.
The moment you see two DBs in the end zone and hands are up, there's a discussion taking place. Hey, you did it to me. I did it to you. It's your fault.
Hey, you guys are bad.
Yeah, we're
oh, holy
yeah.
cow, you guys. Oh, it's like right then.
It's instant.
Can you imagine if a guard looked at the tackle and threw his arms up in the air? Can you imagine if you saw something like that?
Oh, he might get pancaked on the spot.
Ah, too funny.
That's what it sounds like when you throw another DB under the bus.
Here's what I really think Nolan was doing. I don't think he's got a problem with the position players. Yes, Daniel Murphy, listen, it was tough losing DJ LeMahieu, okay? I mean, who wanted DJ LeMahieu to leave? Nobody. And Daniel Murphy, he's one of the fellas, but he's definitely one of the new fellas. And there's no doubt Ian Desmond, who's a good dude, has had a rough time despite all the millions he's being
not
paid.
Not a great player, good dude.
But I don't think, right? I don't think that's what Nolan was talking about. I think Nolan was clearly just saying our pitching just is terrible. You got to do something here.
So if you're Bridges, I mean, how do you fix this problem? It's been a problem for a couple of seasons.
You can't. You're too committed money-wise to the guys that you brought in. You got to ride it out.
You're riding it out with Kyle Freeland.
You're riding it out with Wade Davis. You're riding it out with Brian Shaw. You're riding it out with Jake McGee. You're riding it out.
You know, Scott Kyle Freeland, he's going to be a really interesting story to
follow. He's going
to
be big this year. Yeah.
You see guys peak late in their careers when they were bad earlier in their careers often. Yeah. That's not a rare story. But to see a guy like come out the gates on fire, local boy, he can't do any better, and then he gets demoted, and then and then like the reclamation project, that's going to be fascinating to watch.
But how do you bounce back from that if you're a hometown kid and you know people who've been watching you for so long, they support you, but they are quick to criticize you as well. That's a lot of pressure to deal with.
I think it's both things. I think there's pressure because you grew up in this area. Way to go, TJ, and high school. But they're also supportive. I mean, I'm rooting for Kyle Freeland. I'll definitely give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him a wider berth than if, you know, because he's from here, for sure.
But I'll tell you this, as a player, much more embarrassing when you fail in your hometown. I've been there. I've done that. You know, when I had a bad game with the Redskins, oh, well, I'd go home to my wife and kids. You know, like, I don't know any of you people. I don't have to see you guys again.
You can't avoid your
friends. I'm not going to run across you. When I have a bad game here in Denver, people send in texts on the text line 12 years later.
Oh, that's too funny. I kept trying to think of, did you have a bad game here in Denver? You didn't have a Michael Schofield moment.
No, not quite. The closest I ever came was my second year in the league playing for Josh McDaniels. I had a couple real sketchy games that year.
Nothing stands out to me, though, like Schofield, that sort of thing.
I had one moment that cost a game.
You really?
Yeah, we were playing the Washington Redskins, and we had a two-minute drill going on. We were in D.C., and I gave up a strip sack on our final drive.
Who was the QB?
I think it was Kyle Orton.
Was Orton?
I think so.
Man, oh, man. I don't recall that off the top of my head, but that was on you, huh?
Well, yeah, if you give up a strip sack in the middle of a two-minute drill, that's not good.
No, it's not.
That's not a good thing.
So what did your friends and family say to you via text message after that?
Oh, nothing. But, I mean, everybody knew. Anybody that meant anything to me knew what was going on.
It's a good question. You know, it's. I don't even know how to approach that with Kyle, though. You know, like, how do you bring that up without kind of sounding like
it's a touchy subject?
I think so, too. Listen, how about this? It's spring training, right? Despite what we have going outside here in the tech center right now.
It's been snowing for a month and a half.
What day is it? Oh, it's important to know what day it is.
Well, if yesterday was day two, if today's day two, yesterday was day one.
No, but I think today is maybe day four.
That's right. It was a trick question because that was yesterday that they said it.
Right. Sunday was check-in day. That's when Nolan, right? Monday was technically day one. Tuesday was day two.
What day is tomorrow going to be?
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Thursday?
Day one is Sunday.
This is unbelievable.
It's Monday.
How many days have to go by before
how many fingers do you have on D-Man counting?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Today's day 11.
Spring training. Meanwhile, Rob Manfred. Now, he is blinded by the light. And he's also on the apology tour. Here's another way to not give an apology. He said in a speech or public comments, the World Series trophy was a piece of metal.
A piece of metal? Excuse me?
What's the big deal? It's just a piece of metal.
Who cares?
Who cares? Yes.
That is amazing.
Stupid piece of metal.
Stanley Cup's just a piece of metal.
Just a piece of metal. So
is it even metal?
Here's Rob Manfred on the apology tour.
I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way, and I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake.
That's good. See, he just came out. No ifs. Not if you were offended. Not apology to other trophies.
I made a mistake.
I'm sorry. You want to know what it's like to make a mistake in your hometown? You get a text 2 minutes later. Columbus, it was Chris Sims was the starting quarterback, and he was getting hammered, and then Kyle came in with an injured finger. People remember.
I do remember that game.
They never forget.
People remember. That was a quirky one because Orton shouldn't have played in that game at all, but Sims had played so poorly. Like, he was scared.
Bad. He was awful.
He was awful.
It's coming back. Now it's coming back.
And they had to put Kyle. In fact, there was a long. Did Stokely have a touchdown in that game? I don't know.
I just remember the bad things.
Ooh, I do remember that game now. That was a weird one. All right, here's the rest of Manfred.
I'm going to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
That's a better apology. On the front side of that, because it was lengthy, on the front side of that, he said, I had a busy day. I was doing a lot of interviews.
Blah, blah, blah.
But that being
that part sounded great.
That part was good.
That was a mistake. That was my fault.
That's a better apology.
I shouldn't have done that.
That's better than...
I'm sorry that our fans, you know, if they've been, you know, I'm sorry that it went, this way.
Okay. Baseball. You got pieces of metal that are the commissioner saying, you got this moment here. Astros. You got Markakis is saying that the Astros deserve a beating.
What about Manfred meeting with 29 managers saying that he didn't want pitchers throwing at the Astros players?
All right, that could be bad.
What about the Astros admitting that they still have employees that are employed that were involved in the cheating scandal?
Yeah, what about those?
This is going great.
What consequence, seriously, at this point, have the Astros faced?
None, really, that anything that could be determined to be a deterrent from any other team doing this in the future.
I mean, the Astros have fired some people. The Red Sox fired their manager, Alex Cora. But what punishment are the Astros facing right now?
It is interesting to me that, like, the players, okay, they were involved in the cheating, but you never expect them to actually fire all the players. However, the staff that was, like, sitting in the dugout, like, relaying messages that was involved, they're still employed. Still employed, just like the players.
Yeah, and the owner, how's the owner skating by on all this?
Because Manfred said plausible not deniability. He didn't know that all of this cheating was taking place. Which,
really?
Well, he knows
you
now.
You couldn't like sit there and, the hell is that sound? I saw Stanton today, Giancarlo Stanton, say if he knew what the pitch was going to be, he'd hit 80 home runs a year. And you know what? I think he's right. Giancarlo Stanton,
yes.
The guy, a check swing can hit a home run. If he just knows what's coming, the one advantage pitchers have is they have control of the pitch. That's the secret sauce.
Yep.
If you just throw fastballs or breaking pitches, frankly, and they know it's coming, these are major league hitters, dude. I mean, forget it.
Even Mike Trout joked about it, saying that, you know, imagine if I knew how many that I would hit.
Oh, you got the beginning of America. Listen to the excuses, just a little bit of this. Go ahead, Kevin.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake.
Okay.
at least during that long day.
All right.
So
he had a long day.
Media exhaustion.
He had a long day. So he called the most special trophy theoretically a hunk of junk.
The commissioner's trophy.
Yeah, we got it from the scrap pile.
Yeah, because he had a long day. A lot of interviews.
It's recycled metal.
It's like, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Just a piece of metal. Who cares?
You know, you want to hear, who are the most, do you think, overall the most hated city's fans? Like, what fans?
Boston.
Boston.
New York.
Philly.
No, seriously. Who do you think is worse?
The fans?
Yeah. Who are the most, what's the most arrogant fan base?
Boston and Philly. I would say Boston and Philly.
Boston is definitely up there. All right. Like all the sports combined?
Well, wait till you hear the king of the chowder heads define the pettiness of the Boston sports fan. We'll hear from Ben Affleck next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
What would you say you do here?
What is it that we do here? Oh, by the way, I don't know who did it because I've been out of town here the past couple... Richie. Come on. Let's give Richie a round of applause.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
The Hobby Lobby Studios. Are you kidding me? That yes. is hysterical.
With little kid stickers all throughout it.
Richie, how many fire trucks we get up on that right now? What are we talking fire truck-wise?
Sadly, I could not find any fire truck stickers.
So oh!
I substituted with monster trucks.
Monster trucks! Like that was I'm sorry. They're not fire trucks. They're monster trucks. So how many monster trucks do we get up there? I see at least three.
I think it's probably six.
Oh, there's a couple
yeah,
more.
Six monster
you know
trucks.
What, you know what?
That is great.
There's subliminal messaging in there as well. You put a lot of teamwork messages, a lot of go
oh.
team.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That is hysterical. It's really awesome. Good job, Mike Evans. Hobby Lobby Studios. And I hear the fellas, they're coming around. We're going to see or they're doing something their own thing because they can't just do what we're doing. They're going to do their own thing, but they're going to do something. Is that right?
From what I heard, they're unveiling their own version of what we're doing at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay, so even though they've been widely, openly invited to participate, and we can't wait, they're just going to do... And are we invited to participate in their thing?
You know what? I didn't get a chance to ask, but it's going to be the first thing I ask.
Although I did hear Mark say...
Because I will accept we will accept whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm all in.
I did hear Mark say that he was going to put his own little twist on it. So you never know what that means.
Okay. But we clearly know in terms of they're going to make their own... So we're not invited to participate in... So they're open to participate with us, but we're not open to participate with them, whatever they do.
I guess we'll find out.
Because whatever they do, I would love to be part of it.
Hey, can we do it with you guys? See, I just asked.
Right. Sure. Sure. Get Evans on the phone. Let's see. He's a chowderhead. Yeah, if you can get him on the phone here. Meanwhile, while you try to work on that. Here's Ben Affleck. Now, we've been promoting Ben's movie.
Yes, we have.
I don't know why Ben hasn't come on with us, but he was on ESPN, and, you know, he's a Boston guy. And now listen to the mindset of a Boston sports fan. Here it is.
Now, you ride or die for Boston sports.
Yes.
There have been a couple of things that happened in that area.
Yes.
Spygate, Deflategate, Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
It is complicated. you can't break the rules. Okay? You can't break the rules. The rules are there for a reason. You can't break them. That being said, I mean, I can tell you Deflategate was, you know, that was a totally made up fraudulent claim. But
excuse me for saying.
No, that's okay.
That's all right.
Okay.
You can say it once.
As long as we don't say it, it's okay.
You can say whatever you want.
They can't fire you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And that was right out of How Do You Like Them Apples. The Boston accent was creeping back in there. And
oh, yeah.
Getting all defensive. That is the mind of the Boston sports fan right there.
You can't break the rules.
But
those rules were a bunch of malarkey.
That's right.
Malarkey. Yeah.
That's the Boston sports fan right there. It's so arrogant. I don't blame people for hating Boston sports fans.
Listen, as the, the resident Yankee fan on the show, I don't have a lot of affinity for anything Boston. So I get it.
Yeah. All right. Am I about to see Kevin Kistner's Duke diploma here? You grew up in Miami. You know, with the whole Yankees thing.
Well, listen, D-Mac, listen, I'm not trying to pull a Kevin Kisner, but as a kid growing up in Miami, we didn't have a baseball team.
Yeah, I get it.
The Orioles came to
spring training. There were a lot of teams between Miami and New York.
Yeah.
Well, here's what happens.
Just be a Braves fan like the rest of the posters
in the South. No, the Orioles used to have spring training at Miami Stadium.
And
I used to go there. And then they bounced and they left, so I said, you guys suck. And then I started watching more baseball, and there was a lot of Yankee games on, and I just sat down.
Oh, so there are Yankees games on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so you're a Yankees fan.
Yes.
Oh, that's convenient. Let me take a wild guess. You love Derek Jeter. He was incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. They won 4 out of 5 World Series back in the day.
Listen, for me, what a stretch. I didn't grow up in Denver where there was a professional baseball team. There wasn't any in Miami.
Next
so.
Thing I know, I'm going to hear about how you grew up in Maine and you saw Cubs games on TV, so you're a Cubs fan.
No, when I was a kid, I was a Yankees fan, and I rooted for the Boston Celtics. We didn't have a basketball team
you
either.
You just said you didn't root for Boston teams.
Yeah, but now
except for the Celtics?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Except for the Celtics.
Your entire, everything you just said is totally
No, it's not.
We should feel sorry for Nick. He grew up in the area with terrible teams that did nothing.
We didn't have hockey, basketball.
Well, you did have hockey.
No, that came later.
Well, I mean, 90s, the Avalanche beat the Florida Panthers. Yeah.
But at that point, it was
in
like...
the 90s.
Yeah, but I'm like, whatever. Florida Panthers, whatever.
All right. As a lifelong Yankees fan.
Right.
Dude, I'm talking Yankees fans to me is the fat dude with the pizza stains all over his gray T-shirt with the ripped up Yankees hat. That to me is like the Yankees guy. And the Boston guy is Ben Affleck with his stupid Red Sox hat that he wears to everything.
I'm not going to lie. I married the only good thing to come out of Boston, and I'm partners with somebody that I'm trying to figure out if he's okay or not. Outside of that, I hate everything that is related to Boston.
Look who's got Smart Pack.
Smart Pack.
That chata.
What do you mean you hate everything? Well, now we're going down a weird path. You hate everything related to Boston? What, like freedom and independence and the Revolutionary War? You got a problem with that? I'm defending Boston. What are you doing?
I have a problem.
Paul Revere was a sucker?
I have a problem with the way they talk. I have a problem with the words that they use. It's a dresser. It's not a bureau. It's a water fountain. It's not a bubbler. You know, it's things. There's just weird things.
It's a whole different language
in
Boston. Whole different language.
I'm bothered that my in-laws called me Tyler.
Tyler.
They're great people. I love them.
And what are you going to name your kid?
But my name's Tyler.
What name could you not name?
My wife wanted to name our son Carter.
Carter.
And I said, there's no way I am naming our child Carter.
Carter, come on
over. Do you realize, how's Carter doing? Yeah. How's Carter? What's going on with Carter?
Tyler,
how's Carter's walking?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back, Carter.
There we go.
I feel like tonight's going to be good when I get home.
Now, you're not a guy from
I feel like it's going to be smooth sailing.
Sports. Yes. There have been a couple of things that happened in that area.
Yes.
Spygate, Deflategate, Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
It is complicated.
I respect that.
You can't break the rules. Break the rules.
But
the rules are there for a reason. You can't break them. That being said, I mean, I can tell you Deflategate was...
There you go. It doesn't get more obnoxious than Boston sports fans.
No.
So, let's... Hey, how's Mookie Betts looking these days there, Ben? In L.A.? Don't make me defend Boston sports
fans. Thank goodness my wife hates the Patriots even more than I do. She does not like the Patriots.
Let me be totally honest. The reason we hate a lot of things about Boston is because they're constantly in the playoffs and championships.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
Kind of like the Yankees.
All right. In terms of harsh realities, the Broncos are facing a harsh reality that I think would be a good thing, but they would hate. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
You guys catch that there's basically a final five for Hard Knocks?
Oh, yeah. We are very high on the list.
We are numbered. The Broncos are number two. It's we.
City of Denver. It's we.
That's it. We. We are ranked number two. Now, The issue is, oh, we're two. It could happen. The problem is the team that's ranked number one would be such an overwhelming favorite that it would be hard to imagine they actually don't get it. And that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what's weird about this is even though the Broncos have said for years they don't want to be part of Hard Knocks, boy, have they made that clear. And I think most teams would say relatively the same thing.
Every team.
Is this a case, if the Broncos are eligible, as they are eligible, to be part of Hard Knocks, and they don't get chosen for Hard Knocks, kind of like when you're about to break up with somebody, but they break out with you first? Meaning, you didn't really want the relationship, but you didn't want them to break up with you first. Meaning you really don't want to be on Hard Knocks, but you don't want to hear that another team is more valued than you are to be on Hard Knocks.
It depends on who you are in the organization. I mean, if I'm Joe Ellis, I want to be on Hard Knocks. Like, yes. Dude, let's do this. Like,
yes.
Let's go make money. Let's go meet new fans. Let's bring in an entire new generation of people that are going to buy Broncos stuff.
No-brainer,
that sounds
right?
Like a fantastic idea.
No-brainer.
If I'm John Elway or below, I'm saying, heck no, I want nothing to do with this. So it depends on who you are in the organization.
This could be a great thing for the Denver Broncos if they are one of the five, they end up being the team. Because it's about the level of exposure. Even last year, I mean, I'm not a Raiders fan, but I watched because it was intriguing.
Are you sure you're not a Raiders fan? You did grow up in Miami.
That I can tell you for sure.
I'm not a Raiders fan,
but people tune in because they wanted to see the level of dysfunction and have a peek behind the curtain as to what happens. And looking at the Broncos and their recent moves, you bring in Pat Shurmur. That's going to be exciting and intriguing. You know, and also looking at Coach Fangio, a guy who likes to watch Lifetime and Hallmark movies. And then there's Drew Locke, the guy that everyone is intrigued by, who's listening to Young Jeezy. We want to see what that's going to kind of manifest itself to.
Actually, what am I missing with Pittsburgh? Why are they, like, such a no-brainer?
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, the way you said it, they were, like, far and away the favorites. Why? Yeah.
Is it because of Big Ben and, you know, the uncertainty around his elbow?
Let's go through it. What's a better historic football organization, the Denver Broncos or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I would say the Steelers, because they've only had three head coaches, and historically they've been in the playoffs and the Super Bowls more often than the Broncos.
I would say that was a poor choice for a former player to say.
That's the big question. That's getting, you know, did you break up with a girl or did she break up with you? I mean,
what does Pittsburgh have? What do they have? Now you got me going. Now I'm feeling jealous. Now you done did it.
They have more Super Bowl titles.
Okay, who cares? What's that have to do with the storyline?
They have more Hall of Famers.
Okay, who cares? What's that have to do with the storyline?
They have a legendary coach and hasn't had too much turnover. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay.
So that draws more eyes to the HBO
quarterback,
and Hard Knocks.
Now you've hit something. Now you've got an active person in the building that they're going to have cameras on.
Watch
okay.
This.
So Big Ben, all right, he wins.
Here comes the setup.
With Big Ben.
Here's the tricky one.
Okay.
They have a better fan base.
Ooh. Ooh. Now you both done did it.
Well, do they? You're asking me what's the argument. I'm giving you what the argument is.
I think I've played in Seattle, I've played in Denver, I've played in Washington, D.C. Allegedly, three of the best fan bases in the NFL. Now, we all know that D.C. is struggling in their fan base right now, but historically speaking, they are up there. I would put Denver's fan base up against anybody. So, I don't know how to quantify that.
Listen,
other than
Denver,
to tell you,
Denver was number two here. It's not like the Broncos are like a lowly regarded organization. It's a kind of a moment of like, who would you really rather see out there, America? Would you rather see the Steelers or the Broncos?
It just feels like the Pittsburgh, like, the drama is kind of, like, gone. It's kind of dissipated a little bit over the last year and a half, right? If you would have been talking about all the running back drama, all the Antonio Brown drama, all the Big Ben beef, I'm sure we'll see Big Ben beefing with somebody. I'm sure that'll be the storyline. But outside of that, I can't think of anything that makes it a better story. I think Drew Locke is fascinating. I think young people are, like, it's a new character study. Von Miller is
there's a little drama there.
Von Miller's a stud.
Oh, my gosh. Superstar. You imagine them following Von Miller?
It would be awesome.
Yeah, but in Pittsburgh, they still have a little drama because, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen with Big Ben and his elbow. And who's going to be the starting quarterback, let alone the backup quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Then this whole Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing hasn't been put to bed.
Yep.
So they can use that to actually generate people to constantly tune in week in, week out.
Here's the bigger question. This is a bummer. And I've heard Stink talk about this in the morning, that the Broncos weren't like a featured afternoon game, like the first time, and it was just they were a real low priority. We're excited about the Broncos season. I cannot wait to go into the Hobby Lobby studios to dig into everything, and I got a change to make to the old Bebop.
Oh, so here we go.
Excited about all that. Yeah.
Nice.
But how relevant are the Broncos compared to the Steelers?
Even with everything that's going on with the ownership, I say they still play second fiddle to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and on a national scale, Pittsburgh is above us for sure.
And
that's why they win.
That's why they win. That's the sad truth. You know, they're producing a TV show. They're going to go with the more compelling, relevant team. Broncos are close. Broncos are right there. But, and by the way, in order to qualify for Hard Knocks,
you have to be bad. You have to have a new coach.
Right.
You have to have not been in the playoffs in the last.
Right. Check.
Right. We are the lead contenders.
Well, it's surprising that Pittsburgh, that was part of the article. It's surprising that Pittsburgh and Denver, to a certain degree, even qualified for this, but especially Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right. You can't have a first-time head coach, so the Broncos, they couldn't do it with Vic Fangio last year.
That's probably really why they will get it. The expectation of ever having Pittsburgh back on the show has got to be so low. And right now, people look at Denver like, we can get them next year if we want to.
You know, so this is kind of a weird thing to say, but this is the truth here, too. It would be a compliment for the Denver Broncos to be on Hard Knocks. It would be a big-time compliment. It would say, hey, we're relevant enough that we care about you. There's no doubt when you watch the Raiders, it wasn't about the Raiders. It was about John Gruden. It was the John Gruden show. It just so happened that he was, you know, on the Raiders. So there you go.
Now, here's an interesting text. It really doesn't have anything to do with Hard Knocks, unfortunately, because they would never do it. But it says Denver's ownership issue is the most intriguing story in the NFL. Come on, guys. It's juicy. Yeah, you're actually right. It really is.
Yeah, but Hard Knocks,
would never.
Yeah, that would not play out on film. They would not. They would avoid that at all costs.
Here's Mike Tomlin when he was asked about it.
A short list of teams that are eligible for Hard Knocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't.
Would you do it if they asked?
And there you go. That's the truth. That's the joke. Nobody asked.
No one asked. They just told you.
That's it.
Going in the back. That's what they tell you.
I would love the Broncos to be on Hard Knocks. Oh, my God.
Well, why would you love that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I would love that, too, from a fan experience.
So good.
Come on. Inside access like that on your own team?
It'd be amazing. It would be incredible.
So that means
that would be incredible.
D-Mac's face flashes on HBO because normally we out there at training camp.
When the Cowboys were here, I was trying to get on Hard Knocks so bad. I was trying to walk in front of every camera that humanly exists.
I did. I was in the middle of a giant 100-person brawl. Flozell Adams took off somebody's helmet and started hitting him with it.
There you go.
Big old Flozell. I had to run over to that field. I did nothing.
There's a significant receiver who's on the move. Would he be a good fit for the Broncos? And yeah, the Hobby Lobby Studios and the Bebop. Oh man, Football at 4 is next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.